It's Memorial Day with Chuck Bonnewell and Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie show, Truth Straight Up. I always have to remember not to say Happy Memorial Day because it's inappropriate. But
that's right.
Yeah, but it's a day to remember all those who sacrificed their lives for our freedoms that the Democrats are trying to destroy.
The Democrats have taken away so far, except for Douglas County. Hey, the show brought to you today, as always, by ColoradoCitizenPress.com, Colorado's conservative voice, a great site to check. They've got a lot of stuff up there right now. We're going to read what we're talking about. We wanted to jump
And also Synergetics. We'll talk about it at the bottom of the hour, where youth is just a feeling. It is a feeling and not simply a number. And you'll want to get feeling that great. As well as Citizen Press. I just love that website. I just go to it two or three times a day, really, for the articles.
Right.
It's just tremendous.
So we have with us, we wanted to start off talking about freedom with Laura Thomas. Laura, you can go ahead and unmute yourself, or the producers can unmute you. Laura Thomas is a Douglas County commissioner. And so first off, I want to say thank you for your time this afternoon. We appreciate it, and I hope you're having a good day so far.
I am. We went for a walk today, and we're just enjoying. We went to Fort Logan yesterday. I was heartened that there were not flags on all the graves, so we brought a flag for my dad and flowers.
Oh, that's wonderful. Let me ask you something. Douglas County, what's it like to go to a restaurant? Can you remind us what that
seems
like?
What's that feeling? Antediluvian, sitting down and ordering something?
Where you talk with other people and things like that. Remind us all what that feels like.
Well, I'll tell you, on Saturday, we were out putting out my 8-foot campaign signs, and I do that myself with a team. And so we were hot and sweaty and tired. We went to Freddy's in Castle Rock, and we realized we could actually go in and sit down in an air-conditioned room with a table.
Wow.
In there, they had X's on the floor where you could stand while you were waiting to do your order. But we got our food, and we sat at a table, and were able to talk to people and see people around us. And it was amazing. Just a little thing like that was so amazing.
Oh,
and then I went to Sierra in Lone Tree and had a wonderful dinner with a couple of friends. Amazing.
We're in Adams County where you can't do anything. It was funny. I went to go to a store, a candle store, right? And this kind of cracked me up. And I wanted you to talk about what you guys have been doing in Douglas County, because I think it's so important. So we all had to stand in line to get into the store. They were only letting a few people in. And I get the employees, it's not their fault. They have to do this. But of course, then we all go in and everyone's picking up the candles and smelling them and setting them back down. But I mentioned to the people there, I said, well, Park Meadows Mall is open. And they were like, what? And like there was this man rushed to their cars to go to Park Meadows Mall. I mean, what have you guys done? Because
how have you managed to get away from the tyrannical system that
Jared Polis
and Hancock and the Tri-County Health people?
We actually started off in Douglas County, I think ahead of everyone else. Yeah. Not only are we the healthiest county in the state, we have been judged as the healthiest county in the country based on 82 different metrics. Our citizens have health insurance, they take exercise, they take better care of themselves. So we have consistently been at the top of this. So we started off in a better place. Our cases were very low. 2 weeks ago, we had only had 2 hospitalizations in a 9-day period. We're constantly monitoring the cases. And so Dr. Douglas at Tri-County Health actually took a lot of heat on April 24th. When he allowed Douglas County to leave the stay-at-home orders and move to safer at home, where Arapahoe and Douglas had to stay. But the numbers for Arapahoe County have been like 3,000. Douglas were about 700. Adams County were 2,000-something. So our caseload has been lower all along. And we impressed upon Dr. Douglas that we would continue to monitor our citizens and our numbers. We weren't going to monitor our citizens. That was stupid of me to say. We were going to monitor our case
situation.
Notes.
Yeah.
There also is a little indication by some. I know that some people are urging if Tri-County Health wasn't more flexible, that it could be bi-county health before long.
Well, we certainly are going to have some discussions, and I'll tell you why, Chuck. I think that this has been an experiment in how well people will kowtow to the government.
Yes.
And I thoroughly expect that in October and November, as the flu season begins again,
right,
that we go through this exercise again.
Yes.
And I know my county commissioners are talking with our county manager and our county attorney about what, is there anything we can do to make sure that we are not shut down again this fall?
Yes, so right. Yes.
Down the road, what do we do to protect our citizens?
And that's a key thing. Let me back up a second, though, because I want to give you guys a little bit of credit. Not only, though, are you healthy in Douglas County, you actually have some politicians who have a spine, people like yourself, who actually push and say, let us open. Look at our numbers. I got to say, I don't think in Adams County they're doing anything. They're trying to get more masks.
They're trying to figure out how to stop the non-existent fracking. That's what they do.
I mean, and so I think you guys get a lot of credit for saying, let's look at the numbers and let's throw some common sense in here. And so let me go ahead and say, so you've been open longer than everybody else, no uptick, no surge, people not dropping dead in the streets of Parker, I take it. So tell us about the experiences that you guys have had.
Well, it was very exciting on April 27th when we were able to move to safer at home. More businesses started to open up. You know, people were really confused.
Yeah.
They weren't sure what they could open, what they couldn't open. We could open to 4 people, private gyms, but not 10 people in their private gym, only 4. And, you know, I did a big battle with Dr. Douglas and Tri-County Health about keeping golf courses in Douglas County. And I said, make me the golf committee. And Dr. Douglas calls me the golf committee, but we were courses open. And I was constantly calling them, working with them, but we were able to keep those open. And I just think that there's so much confusion about what can be open, what can't be open. And I think this is the plan. I think the Democrats have opened some counties, but not other counties. Citizens are pitted against each other. They're mad. Citizens are railing against their county commissioners who have submitted variances, but have been denied.
Right.
So there's a lot of frustration and anger because it's just not being done the same everywhere.
Well, and I wanted to go on something you said, and then I want to get back to the politics of it too. But again, I give you guys a lot of credit for being proactive right now and starting to talk about how do we make sure that some unelected health bureaucrat doesn't shut down the economy of our county. I mean, what kinds of things are you guys doing and how important is that?
We've been working with our county attorney to figure out what the state statutes are.
Yeah.
Right now, the statute requires that every county have a health department. It also requires that if we choose to leave a health department, we have to give them a 1 year's notice.
What?
Oh, wow.
That's what the law says. And so we're trying to figure out what this looks like. I am going to tell you, though, that what's going on right now is directly attributable to the governor.
Yes.
Dr. Douglas cannot make anything less stringent. And he actually told us on a phone call last week, I was so frustrated. I was trying to get my fellow commissioners to vote with me to do a resolution to just tell our restaurants and our businesses, we're going to open up. Because if every restaurant in Douglas County opened up, what in the world could they have done?
Right.
And it was time. Our numbers had been very low. We should have opened up a month ago because our numbers have been so low.
Right.
And Dr. Douglas actually told us last week, there is no reason for Douglas County to be shut down. Your numbers are very good. But the decision did not rest with Dr. Douglas. It was with Jill Ryan at the health department. Our variance was supposed to take 3 days to be approved. It took over 10. It was submitted on May 12th for the mall, and it wasn't open until late Friday night, about 10 p.m. We got a text that the mall would be able to be opened, as well as restaurants, churches, and gyms.
And that's just inexcusable. When you have the governor of Colorado using his administrators to close down counties, it is outrageous to me. He should be ashamed of himself for not acting immediately. The numbers are only going to get better. They were either there or they weren't. I mean, did they give you any excuse?
Was Jill the one from Eagle County originally?
Yes.
And so she got a variance for Eagle County, boom. I mean, it was as fast as you could possibly get it. And of course, that was fair because she's from Eagle County. So, you know, no problem there. But you, of course, Douglas County, and totally different. Totally different.
But we didn't quit pushing. And
good.
I have to tell you that our staff were amazing. We had 5 people working on these variances. And we would connect industry with our staff. And industry and our staff would work together to figure out what industry could look like, could live with, and what we felt the health department would need. So we were constantly working with Tri-County Health and with industry to craft these variances.
Right.
So my hat is off to our staff.
Well, I have to admit now, you know, we have a son, and before he kills us or we kill him, he needs to go to
summer camp.
Go to summer camp, you know. So,
well, they just got open today.
I know it. And I'm sitting in front of my computer are the very reasonable, endless pages and bullet points of regulations. And they all make sense, right? I mean, kids cannot get within 6 feet of each other, right? They never do. You know, children will always obey a 6 foot. I mean, it's just rule after rule after limitation after limitation after asininity written by people who have no idea what a summer camp is. And it's just
my rules.
I mean, if there was ever an example of why regulation, the regulatory state is a sick state, it's these camp rules, which, you know, I'm sure once you get to the camp, hopefully some sort of a reason will take place. But you just have some 25-year-old person who had a gender studies degree writing these up, who's never been to a camp. And it's just somehow my love of the regulatory state has increased. I begin to understand more and more why we just need more and more regulations, because that's just us.
I've been trying to get swim schools open for kids because they help save kids' lives, right, when they learn.
Right.
But I actually got an email from the health department saying that it is too difficult for instructors to wear their masks in the water. So we cannot open a swim school, even though the water is chlorinated and it kills the virus.
You know, we're talking with Laura Thomas, Douglas.
Can't they put a scuba suit on or something?
Here's the thing, Laura, you know, what you guys did that's good, and let me ask you as a kind of commissioner, your frustration here, it seems to me that the way it should work is you have the bureaucrats tell you, here's what we think, and then you have the elected officials who are accountable to the people say, okay, well, here's what we're going to actually do, because we have to take into account all of these other things that are going on. But that seems to have been just completely bypassed this time around, and you know, Governor Polis has become Dictator Polis, And there's no way for you guys really to fight it that much, is there?
That's correct. And we hear the statement all the time, the cure was worse than the disease.
Yes.
So we have had some really sad child abuse cases, domestic violence cases, the suicides. My nephew lost a very, very close friend 2 weeks ago to suicide. Yeah. And it indicated my nephew wrote on Facebook that social distancing led to this.
Sure.
I think that our suicide numbers are going to continue to escalate as people have lost financially, that they're never going to be able to make it around.
Well, we have a commentator often comes on and came up with the phrase, we ought to calculate death by Fauci.
Right.
And that'd be a huge number. They ought to publish that every day compared to the coronavirus.
New York Times could put that up. Yeah. Well, what do you guys, and Douglas, kind of, let's talk a little bit from what you guys can tell, what's been the impact of this, I mean, financially on Douglas County and businesses there?
Well, here is what our assessor has told us. The assessors, so the period where properties are evaluated is supposed to end on June 30th of this year.
Okay.
Assessors are considering trying to get a statute passed to extend that deadline to December 31st, because they know that the value of commercial property is going to drop probably by 25%.
Sure.
That means that the revenue in property taxes that Douglas County will bring in 2022 will drop by $25 million. The cities exist on sales tax, and their sales tax revenues are down about 90%.
Wow.
Yeah. And so there, you know, people are looking at, governments are looking at, are we going to have to lay off staff? How are we going to provide citizens to the public? Douglas County does a lot of things with contract employees.
Yeah.
More citizens served per employee than any other government in the state. So because we have fewer employees, we're hoping that we're going to get through this without having to lay off staff. But we have learned by using Zoom like this, we don't need building space. We don't need cameras. And people are more efficient. And we were thinking about building a building. We are no longer thinking about building another building.
Wow.
No, that's great. Well, let me bring up, and we own a business. And we have ups and downs. And as we own a local newspaper, and obviously the ad revenue is affected by that. So you've got to lay off people. You got to make costs. But at the end of it, you're more efficient. You've actually done yourself a favor. I mean, that is what the whole system is. And unfortunately, governments don't. They don't want to lay off a single person. And having been
they just want to raise taxes.
Yeah. Having been a city employee and a federal employee, I can guarantee you that you could be more efficient with less employees. The main goal of many people in when you get into government is to figure out how you can hire a subordinate who'll do all the work while you enjoy other things that you enjoy. The waste, the mismanagement, the utter futility of state and local governments, and the fact that they don't want to let anybody off is sad. I mean, it's just sad, and that's why governments are so inefficient and so awful to have. I mean, whether it's Ming China or Denver, Colorado, or elsewhere, the bureaucratic government state just refuses to size down. And someday it'll kill us, just like it killed empires in China and around the world. But that's
I think Douglas County is a little different. I was the county coroner before I was the commissioner, and I shrunk the budget by a third. I went from 11 employees to 8, and I really did shrink the budget by one third because I understand exactly what you're saying, Chuck. Government needs to be smaller and not keep getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah. What about schools? What do you guys hear? I mean, we're seeing Jefferson County is introducing this ridiculous plan to have school just 1 or 2 days a week. And then you're already reading parents are saying, okay, I'm looking for another county. I'm looking for private school. What are you guys looking at in Douglas County? And can
you got your own school board, which is controlled by the other party, which is doesn't.
I mean, and I know exactly. Let me clarify. The school board is not your bailiwick. I understand that. But what kinds of things are being talked about there?
You know, I had a meeting every Wednesday at noon with all the governments in Douglas County. The school board meets with us, one of their board president. And David Ray has not really explained to us what they're looking at next year. I understand they're looking at a drive-by graduation plan. The commissioners have not been asked to help. Like in El Paso County, they got a variance for all graduations in El Paso County. The school district has not approached us about anything to help them with variances. So I really have no idea what the schools are doing.
Yeah. What about the politics of this? You know, you kind of alluded to this earlier that all of this goes to Jared Polis, grabbing control, seizing control, extending, illegally and corruptly at the very least, this emergency order. Talk to us a little bit about the politics behind all of this.
So shortly after all of this happened, the governor started a new committee called the New Normal Committee.
Oh.
There's about 15 people on that. He took one commissioner from county over 250,000, one from under. I wrote a great resume to get on that. I didn't get on it. We just got an email that this New Normal Committee is suggesting that there be a new public health order umbrella put in place that's similar to child welfare.
Oh.
Is headed by the state, but administered by the counties.
Oh.
And we are trying to push back on that. All the county commissioners that I've been working with want this to be totally driven to the local level.
Right.
So commissioners are the ones who are able to make decisions for their citizens because
right.
they elected us.
Right. Right. Well, and you guys know what's going on there and you care. For instance, I get that if you're Polis, you have to be a little bit concerned. You can't, okay, Douglas County, you're fine. Everything could be open, but then Jefferson can't. I mean, you've got your own sort of competing political things going on, but that's too bad, right? I mean, I think what we've seen here, like you said, Laura, at the beginning, is how awful things can get, how quickly how awful things can get, and how a thriving business, hopes, dreams, plans can be just crushed in the course of a weekend,
but
the governor waving his evil wand and all of a sudden everything shut down.
But it's also better that they're different solutions. And
right.
Because all of a sudden the people in Adams County can go, wait a minute, Douglas County's having its schools. Why do we have one solution? Then no one can say, "What is there a better
right.
idea? Is there a better concept?" So more local control, the better, because it allows for those who adopt bad plans to suffer, those who have good plans to prosper, and people will start adopting the better plans. But having state control over anything these days is terrifying.
I agree with you. We just want to do what our citizens tell us, and we've been getting tons of emails. A majority want us to open up now. There are a few that sending us emails saying, shame on you, you're going to kill us all, stop.
Right.
The majority want to have their lives back, and they understand that there needs to be some care. My mother is 87 years old. She lives in an independent living facility. She's staying there. She won't even let us come visit her, bring her any food. I do wish that they would bring in some services so those people can get their hair cut.
Yeah.
My mom's thinking about going out and getting her hair cut on her own, but she said, what if I bring something back?
Yeah. Well, and you're right. I mean, that's what we need to do is protect people like that, people who we know are at risk. Right. And you know what, Laura, I would submit too, you just look at some of the pictures that are going on over the weekend, and you can just tell the average person out there is not afraid that they're going to get coronavirus and keel over in the street, right? People are ready and willing to get their lives back, I think.
Especially when they look at statistics. I had somebody sent me on Twitter today a great chart that shows who's at risk, who's been in the hospital. It's an excellent chart, and I'm going to retweet it when I get the chance.
Okay. Let me just finally, because I know we don't want to take too much time on this holiday, anything else, experiences or things you've learned?
Well, tell us about your campaign.
Well, yeah, your campaign.
Yeah, let's hear about your campaign.
So I'm in my first term.
Oh, there you go.
Second
term. Women leadership, trusted experience. All right.
That's right. You know, I was with the State Patrol for 26 years. I was the first woman captain and the first woman major. So I have a great deal of experience in working with others to better my community. I do not have a Republican opponent, but I do have a Democrat opponent who has raised almost as much money as I have.
Wow.
She is backed by Phil Weiser. And she's an emerge candidate, if you know.
We don't like emerge candidates.
So we are gearing up to have a very spirited campaign, but I have every intention of winning this race like every other race I've ever been in.
I remember when I was at Fox 31 working with you when you were at the coroner's office, and you did a great job there, unlike some coroners too, which we won't talk about. Where can people find out more? Where can people help you if they want to?
My website is laurathomas.org, and it's LORA thomas.org.
And then sort of my final question then is, talk to us a little bit, lessons learned from Douglas County going through all of this. I mean, advice.
Adams County.
For Adams County, yeah.
You know, two of the Adams County commissioners were calling one of my fellow commissioners, pressuring him not to allow us to move to the safer at home and to keep us at the stay at home orders.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know, I just think it depends on the people that are elected to represent you.
Yeah.
And my citizens have been emailing me and pushing me and calling me to get them more freedom. And we have asked our staff to do that. And they delivered a phenomenal document that got through Tri-County and the State Health Department.
All right.
Laura, well, we unfortunately in Colorado suffer from scam voting by mail and ballot harvesting, which I think has made all the difference. But there's some great candidates like yourself could even fight through that. So wish you the best, and want to thank you so much for joining us on Memorial Day.
I appreciate that, and keep spreading the word of freedom and liberty.
All right. That's great. There you go. Thank you. Laura Thomas, our Douglas County Commissioner, doing a great job here. We're hoping to get Jeff Allen coming up here in a few minutes. He's the Greater Glendale Chamber of Commerce COO to talk about some of the problems that businesses are having navigating their way there. So if Jeff is on Zoom, Jeff, you can pop in anytime you want. But meantime, I'm going to take a quick break and talk about Synagenics.
Yeah, I think it is time to talk about Synagenics. I mean, all we talk about these days is health, right? I mean, that's what we talk about 24-hour. Well, what's the key to getting your own health, making sure you're as good as you can be? As Synagenics says, youth is a feeling, not a number. Both men and women have the power to control your lives. You can control your weight. You control your diet. But you need help to find out what are the hormones, what are the vitamins, what are things and supplements that can help you. So I really can't recommend more Synagenics. Call Julie McCallum there. The number is 720-387-3681. Free consultation. It costs you nothing. It'll be the happiest call you ever made.
Well, you found you and Peter Boyle has really changed your lives.
Yes, it really has changed both our lives, and it'll change your life. It'll really make an enormous difference, and all it is the phone call away.
Oh, just go to Synagenics.com, Cenegenics.com.
Tell them Chuck and Julie sent you.
That's right. So, and so while we wait for Jeff, to join us. I wanted to, let me actually, we can open up to the phones too. 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. One of the things that we have been hearing a lot about from people calling into our show and just out and about is as we reopen, and so I wanted to ask you about this as a lawyer, because I think there's one group of people who are enormously happy, and that's the trial lawyers in Colorado.
They're always happy.
That businesses are confused. Like I was saying, it was kind of silly. We could go into the candle store only a few of us at a time. And of course, then everyone gets in there and we're picking up and smelling the candles, right? Which seems silly to me. But if you're a business, you know, you could tell then business like, hey, look, we don't want to risk it. We're not sure, right?
Right.
We had Robert from At Cheers Bar here in Thornton saying that, okay, he can open his bar, but they can't play pool at the bar. Now, why could you? I mean, the regulations.
Because, I mean, just look at these camp regulations. They're asinine. I mean, honestly, they're asinine. If you just gave some general guidelines and some general rules, it'd be fine. But no, when you regulate, you feel obligated to regulate. So you make up provisions. I mean, you know,
well,
we can open,
you
can have bars. Right now, we're opening up for the government. You can have a bar that serves food. Can open, but a bar that doesn't serve food can't. Why?
Right. The governor
what difference is that on a health basis? I mean, other than drinking isn't good for you or something. Well, but it makes no sense. I mean,
right.
The more chance of COVID virus probably from that serve food that don't serve food.
That's
so
a good
I mean,
point.
It's just
well,
it's asinine. I mean, and that's what regulatory state is. And you get used to the regulatory state after a while. You know, businesses adjust, but when they get the new regulations in, like we have for this whole thing, you see how asinine DORA is. How you know people are protesting in front of DORA, Department
right.
of Regulatory Colorado Agencies,
Freedom Force, yeah.
And God knows they deserve it. I mean, it's a Gestapo light.
Well, and here's and to back up. So the governor, in case you didn't know, the governor today announced that restaurants can open up on Wednesday, and summer camps can open. Lots of other things can
June
open
first, but not overnight camps.
But
they
not,
can't open until July.
Right, and it's as if somehow again because you have the restaurants have to close at 10 for somehow or another overnight.
The coronavirus really gets going at 10:01.
What does this do? So what I've been hearing from people is that part of the problem they have, business owners, is number one, it's like anything, the more regulations you have, the more that really, as opposed to protecting you from lawsuits, it opens you up from lawsuits
sure,
because
sure,
it
that's
sets
right.
this arbitrary standard
yeah,
of care.
Yeah, the
family,
right? you know, is this table is 5'11" away. It's not 6 feet away. They did change it from 8 to 6 for God knows what reason, just because a lot of people say that's the most asinine thing we ever heard. But all the rules are just, and the people are trying to do their best, you know, all of a sudden you've been hired by DORA and you don't know, and they say, okay, make rules for pool tables.
Right, well, if you're the rule maker, this is why here's what I think. I think Michael Tao, our columnist friend, is absolutely right. We all need to stop and be honest and say the models were wrong. This was wrong. This was not the Spanish flu. We know that it has a very low morbidity rate.
Right.
We know the people that it affects are almost exclusively people over 80 with serious other underlying health issues. We know that a significant portion of the people who get coronavirus don't even know it. They don't even have any symptoms at all. So
well,
we
if you look at the United States, you just say, okay, we're going to compare the per capita rate of coronavirus absent Lower New York. And you know, we're one of the lowest countries in the major countries in the world.
And that's with the inflation of the numbers, right?
Yes, yes.
So that's the thing. I just wish that politicians would say, guess what, guys? We were wrong. Okay?
No, they can never say that.
No, they can't. No, I mean, we shouldn't have destroyed the economy. And
we're
now
sorry.
We're going to just eliminate this. Because what happens is you set up all these weird liability issues. So if you've been hired by the state to help come up with rules, you're not going to, I mean,
you're not hired by the state. You're just sitting in an office. You're sitting at a desk. Because I've been a federal
but
employee.
But what I mean, though,
they say, Tommy, you do the bars and pool tables. And what's he supposed to do? I don't know. You can't play pool. That's it.
Well,
nor darts, but you can
well,
get
because
drunk.
Because then you can't get in trouble, right? I mean, it's the thing. When I was in TV, they used to periodically bring in consultants to take a look at everything. And everyone hated it because you knew if you're the consultant and they're bringing you in, you can't say, you know, actually,
looks
pretty good. Yeah, I would.
Looks like a lawyer. Hey, could you look at this contract, you know? 2 hours later and 500
right.
bucks looks good. No, you gotta change this. And
that's the thing. So, you know, they said to some poor poor guy sitting in the cubicle. You're right. Here, come up with some rules on pool tables. And you know the person is like, I don't even play pool.
That's cool.
I don't even know darts either. But I mean, rather than say, you know, I actually don't think we need any pool rules. No, because then they get fired and they'd be in trouble.
Right.
So that becomes a thing. Nobody is going to be brave enough to say, this is stupid. We don't need any of this kind of stuff, you know? And the whole thing, it's just ridiculous and we don't need to do it. And I think it's setting stuff up and making it so dangerous, because if you're a business, number one, can you actually force your insurance agency to pay you? No, that's being sued. If you're the employee, it's like, can you sue your business owner if you get sick? If you're the customer, I mean, the poor business owners are just screwed here. And I think we have, Jeff Allen is in the waiting room. Hey, guys at BBC, there we go. Hey, Jeff, if you could, let's see if we can bring you up. We got Jeff here.
Live.
Hey, okay, there you go. Do you want to turn your camera on too? I don't know. We can't.
I will if I can figure it out.
All right.
There's a little, if you can figure it out, if you can't, worry, at the lower left-hand side of the screen, there's a little microphone and then a little video camera. And if you just click the video camera, we see you. Just hit the video camera and that'll turn you on. Well, I mean, we'll turn your video on. Sorry, Jeff.
Let's see. How about this?
No. Well, that's right. We'll just talk to you without the video. That's okay.
Would have been a lot better.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
So, Jeff is the COO of the Greater Glendale Chamber of Commerce. And I think you guys, I've said this before, just do a great job looking out for and advocating for the businesses in your chamber.
And it is a Greater Glendale.
Greater Glendale, right.
Chamber of Commerce.
And Jeff, so talk to us a little bit about this. So the governor says restaurants can open. You know, what's going on with some of your businesses and what are
there? Yeah, there must be a lot of confusion.
Yeah, what are their concerns?
The biggest problem is the confusion. One of the initial concerns we had is some of the restaurant owners have asked us if there's a possibility they could stay with the alcohol policy of taking the alcohol away. Others, especially in Glendale, where it's a lot easier, a lot easier to do business than in some other municipalities.
Right.
We're working with them on getting exterior seating space to the extent that as long as it doesn't interfere with safety protection, fire protection, we can get them open. A very simple process. And the city has also streamlined some of the liquor requirements, as far as not so much loosening the requirements, but easing the process of getting that approved. The other day, it was not a Glendale restaurant, but I was at a restaurant. And the operator told me, he says, if we have to go at 50% occupancy, we won't make it. They just won't.
Right.
There is some silver lining for them, I think, if they can utilize off hours, if they can utilize pre-ordering and some things like that, so that is, if they have to rotate the tables faster, they can do it. Just people won't have the leisure meal they used to have.
Well, how about in terms of confusion, I could see, you know, like for instance, it seems like every time you go into a store or business, they've got some other new kind of thing. Like I was at the grocery store, King Supers, and you know, that first we've been social distancing and everybody's got their mask on. And now they've got these wacky plastic sheets that hang between the cashiers that they keep crashing into. It's like, it's ridiculous, but I got to assume that if you're a business owner,
you're going to do what you have to do.
You got to be worried about getting sued for something you have no control over, right?
That's exactly the problem. And that's some of the reasons why some of the restaurants in our chamber did not open, is they just didn't feel that they could avoid lawsuits. That might even come from staff.
Right.
Sure. Yeah, your employees are always happy to sue you. So anybody has a business knows.
It also seems to me that it puts an unfair burden on the businesses, right? They're not police officers. They're not public health officials. So I kind of think, what do you do if you're a business? And and somebody says, okay, well, I want to have some food here, but I don't have my food yet, but I want to put my mask on. I mean, I kind of assume that if you're the business, you're like, hey, that's not my job, right? I have enough trouble just
now.
Trying to run my restaurant.
It is now, I promise you.
And that makes it difficult. I seem to have noticed that more businesses now are not so much enforcing the mask. If people come in and they are wearing a mask or not, they don't seem to be saying a lot about it. I've only been asked one time to put on a mask, and And I just told him that I had a waiver. And exactly. He believed it.
Well, and you're right. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I think it is so unfair of the government to put some poor, you know, kid, right, trying to decide, what do you mean you have a waiver? You know what I'm saying?
It's like, that's right.
And if you're a business, it's got to be so, what do you tell? I mean, and I've been in places where people kind of argue with the staff, and, you know.
Well, this is Julie's favorite store of all of them, the entire United States, is this small liquor store over in Federal Heights, in which she walked in without a mask, and the owner said, "Thank you for coming in without a mask. This is so stupid."
The whole thing is just ridiculous. Well, Jeff, so what do you tell business? I mean, how do you give them advice, right? I mean, like, we had.
Well, you can't, but you're going to get sued.
But then, yeah,
that's
then
right, exactly. So you better call your lawyer.
Yeah, call your lawyer, and he'll say, "Yeah, well, I'll tell you, I'm not advising you."
Well, I mean, that's got to be a thing. So what are businesses saying? I mean, it seems to me that this reopen should be a happy, 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 right? But it seems like the government, POLIS, is unnecessarily bogging things down and making things almost as difficult as possible.
I agree with that. And it's interesting from a political standpoint. He doesn't have to be out there. He can let the other loons like Whitmer in Michigan or Pritzker lead the way, and he can hang back. But the thing that I believe now the voters will do this, and we were talking the other day with someone, and for maybe the first time where a candidate sits on personal freedoms actually will be a legitimate and maybe the driving issue in campaigns at the state legislative level.
It is going to be interesting.
That's a good point.
I mean, it's, you know, because if you spend any time in Denver, and I spent 30 years or 35 years, there's plenty of people there who love the regulation. They love the fact that nothing's going on. They love the fact that, you know, the corporate state is controlling everything. I'm just hoping there's some of the independents that are kind of going, you know, I don't, didn't know what I was.
Business owners.
Well, they're not, you know, you could take all the people who actually own businesses and add up how many votes that is compared to all the people who don't own businesses. You're not going to get a lot of votes. But I think, you know, Julie has a daughter and, you know, I would call her left of center, except this coronavirus. She's going, wait a minute. I'm not a Democrat. What do you mean I'm a Democrat? I hope that's the thing that's going to happen. A lot of younger people are going to kind of go, wait a minute. I didn't realize the Democratic Party is the one that the government, you know, is going to take my freedoms away from me. And I don't, you know, you never know what people are going to do in this world. So maybe it'll be just the opposite. But I'm just hoping that a lot of people kind of go, you know, I think I'm moving over to the freedom side of the ledger rather than the control side of the ledger.
Exactly. They will finally start to pay attention if they have been getting what they've been asking for or they've not been asking for all these years. And each time a ballot comes their way, it's got a consequence.
We're talking to Jeff Allen. He's the COO of the Greater Glendale Chamber of Commerce, and they do have a lot of members that are outside of Glendale.
Well,
let me finish.
Okay, sorry.
He is in the process of trying to aid and assist all the businesses and seeing how and interfacing with the government. And luckily in Glendale, it's a, you know, they see their job is to help businesses, not screw them over. So it makes Jeff's job a little easier along with the businesses. But it's a real challenge. And I hope this whole corporate structure starts to crumble. And, you know, you got Michael Hancock, who's depending upon enforcing its rules on other counties through Tri-County Health so that everybody just doesn't flee the city. But, you know, we had the commissioner of Douglas County on. And I tell you, if I was starting a new business, I'd say, where should I locate it?
I'd go to Douglas County.
Yeah.
I would. Laura is just texting. You can move to Douglas County.
Yeah, right. That's exactly right. I mean, you would. You kind of like, hey, what's going to happen in the fall? And, you know, I want to
go to Denver.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, it's been our biggest difficulty is dealing with the members that are getting mixed signals on what can or can't do and who is in control. It's a very mixed up message, very convoluted message.
Well, how's it affected? I mean, have you talked to some businesses? Have some of them said, hey, look, I just can't make it? We talked to you when this all first started. Remember, Jeff, you really described it well. You said, you know, they can go a couple of weeks, a month, but much longer than that. Man, it's going to really, really have an impact. What kind of impact have you guys seen with your members?
I've seen many have got a PPP.
The loan.
Yes. I have seen some, and it's probably just about as many, who have not gotten it. And
including us, because they said, no, no, you're a media organization, so you don't get it.
Well, and if you think about just how backward that is in an entrepreneur's life, that he's sitting at the mailbox every morning waiting for his check from the government. It's just so backwards of a way for them to have to think. So what I am seeing is really the entrepreneurial spirit. I think a lot of folks have been able to readjust and re-evaluate how they do their work and able to carry on. And those who have businesses that do business to business or some sort of a public where they don't have to hold a meeting or they've adjusted holding the meeting, they've done well with that. I remain really concerned for our bars and our restaurants, but that 50% occupancy, that just can't work.
Well, and does that, in terms of, so when they say 50% occupancy, so like I know in Glendale, like you said, they were hopeful, and in Denver even, they said, well, maybe we can let them expand onto the streets, right? So does that 50% occupancy, does that mean, does that get to include the bigger area that they can now expand in, or do you even know?
We don't know for sure, but there's a couple of options on that. Especially those with space, that's good. Restaurants who are going to have to, let's say it's 50%, if they could go to some sort of a pre-order where they would lose the ability to have a leisure meal, but someone can pre-order, they can be texted when their food is ready in the parking lot, they can come in and eat, they can maintain the distance that's required. So the restaurant could operate at a 50% occupancy, but more hours, where people will now be used to having maybe an early lunch at 10:30 or a late lunch or what I call lupper, somewhere around 3 or 4. And so if a restaurant can get crafty and they can maintain a 50% occupancy all throughout the day, it's not going to cure them.
The happy hour is going to start being at 2:30 or something.
Exactly. Exactly. It's actually a good argument for bars to be open 24 hours.
Yeah. Well, they have to close at 10 o'clock right now. I mean, let me just sort of a final question for you then. If you had some kind of, you know, magic phone line into Polis's office. Which you know you do. what would you relay to him from the businesses that make up your membership?
Open up for those that are not at risk. For those that are at risk, let's take care of them. Let's do the things that protect their health. But those who are not at high risk, let's put them back to work, providing for themselves and their families, and start to repair the psyche, and let's get back out there and operate our country again. We're not built as humans to be operating behind masks, and we're not built as a society not to work.
I think that's a good message. That's a great message. Perfect. Jeff, I want to thank so much for joining us.
Always a pleasure.
It's been great. Take care.
Julie? You take a great care of me. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
All right.
Take care. Goodbye.
All right. Thanks, guys. Okay. 888. We've got about 15 minutes left. 888-627-6008.
I see we have a Neil Mathai out there.
And then Chris O'Day. Neil is almost working, but now it's a holiday, so we can. Hey, Neil, thank you for joining us.
Hey, it's great to be on. Thanks for having the radio show. This is awesome.
Yeah. So what do you make of? I know you talk about freedom. You're the guy there. What do you make of all this?
Well, right behind me is a framed copy of the Constitution. We have lost our minds here as a nation. And you guys have been hitting the nail on the head here. So what else? All we can do is just stand up. Don't let fear control us. And that's the problem here. And, you know, I was cleaning up my bookshelf here because we just put some new carpets down. And my mom gave me a book like 20-something years ago. I never read, but it's on the shelf here. And guess who the author is?
Who?
It's Polis's mom.
Oh,
and it was written to Polis. I didn't even realize until I opened it up this week. And his name is really Jared Polis Schutz. That's how his parents call him.
Right.
Well,
he changed it
because he assaulted a woman who worked in his office and smashed her against the case. And so nobody could check back. He changed it to Polis, which was, of course, it didn't matter when you're worth hundreds of millions of dollars or wherever he's worth. You get away with everything.
Well, and let me ask you this. One of the things that has been really dismaying to me, and I don't know how you fight it, to be honest, except for maybe doing the kind of things we try to do here, and the folks with Colorado Freedom Force, but it's just how sheeple people were, right? Where people just kind of gave up and said, okay, right? And you've got the Karens that like make people leave grocery stores because they're not wearing a mask. I mean, I have been dismayed at how easy people went along with what are clearly dumb and draconian rules.
Yeah, I think the major problem here is, especially with adults, is they forgot what this was. It's called the Constitution. And, no coronavirus, no virus overrides the Constitution. And so we have seen here in Michigan and in Colorado, Michigan, California, that we basically have communists in charge.
Yeah.
And what it is fear, because people are afraid of losing their jobs or money. But at this point, 50 million people are unemployed.
Yeah.
The country is tanking. The president is doing a great job, but all the issues are really at the local level. You got these unelected tri-county health boards here for us and other people, and people need to stand up and fight it. And just like what really gets me irritated, Chuck and Julie, is the cowardice of the churches.
To ask
for permission from the government when the First Amendment was very clear that we have the freedom of religion. And then look, you can have abortion places open to kill babies. You can have liquor shops, weed. I don't care about those two, you know, but in general. And then yet the church is like, pretty please, can we open up?
Right.
And it shows you deeper that our character in our nation has just gone off the rails.
When was freedom to worship non-essential? I didn't know what amendment to the Constitution that came in, but that's – well, let me ask another question since we have you here, and it's a totally different subject. But I've been amazed by the attack by Eli Bremer and Joe Webb and all the establishment people, Bob Opre behind the scenes and all the rest of them, against Ken Buck. I mean,
head of the Colorado Republican Party,
and they go to the Denver Post. They get a Jason Saltzman, the real dirtbag of all dirtbags, all to attack their own party chairman and the only person, probably best known Republican in the state. I mean, have you figured that one out? I mean, I know they want to put somebody else because they've controlled the chair for so long, but they don't care if they kill the party. They've been doing such a good job of that over the last decade, but. Yeah. I was amazed by they're that brazen.
Chuck, I was not.
Well, there you go. See, that's why we want you on.
Well, you were.
I mean, you guys called it, remember, a couple of years ago, and I got attacked and taken to court on false charges, right? And who did the false accuser bring in? The former state Republican Party chairman, right? To defend that individual, to cancel their own accusation against me, right? So these people,
but
all they care
against
about
against you,
power.
But you're not the head of the Republican Party for the whole state. I mean...
Well, this is how they work. They don't care about our children. They don't care about $30 trillion in debt and growing. They don't care about any of it. All they care about is power so they can steal money from the taxpayers. This is a big game. And I don't blame these guys. These are straight up corrupt crooks. I don't care to blame these guys.
Straight
I blame anybody else who's
American traditional crooks.
Yeah, I blame the Americans with the coronavirus or the Republican Party or anything, who are silent and who are just straight up cowards. Right. Unless you stand up and fight, we have no chance of moving forward. And what we're doing is we're sticking the middle finger at our kids every single day. And what we need to do is stand up. Where are the adults? Where are the people with, who's willing to go out and fight Goliath? That's what the question should really be. Where are those patriots? I love those guys who showed up in Michigan with their guns. It was just amazing. And then... But the interesting thing about that was the state legislature there is controlled by the Republicans and they folded. You can't make this up.
You know, when you've got Lindsey Graham saying, okay, maybe I'll hold a hearing now. I mean, when you found out that all the Republicans on the Intelligence Committee knew from the beginning, for all along, that the whole Russia hoax thing, they had
a hoax.
That was a hoax, and they let Adam Schiff go out there every day and say, so you're right. And that's the thing, too. You know, and I think Patrick Neville has been good, but I do want to.
He's been great,
but I think there are too many Republicans in Colorado, like you were saying. So these guys, these establishment El Paso guys, are so busy. We've got the coronavirus. We've got Polis taking over our state and destroying it. And what are they worrying about? Ken Buck. It's like, give me a break.
How they can attack and destroy Ken
Buck.
Why
don't they use their power and their influence to call the Denver Post and do editorials saying, open up Colorado?
Because, Julie, they can't do that because the goal here for anyone who does wrong is to take the light off of yourself and put it on someone else. That's exactly what they're doing here. They're hitting Ken Buck now that they basically endorsed and brought in. And then all of a sudden they're turning the light because the heat is on them. They want to stay in power and control access and control money into their pockets and their influence. And so they need to take the light off of themselves and put it on someone else. And so what happens is, you know, you can be married, you can have a mistress. You're going to get burned sooner or later when you go in that direction. And so, you know, so this was not surprising. But the thing here is people need to understand that stuff out of El Paso County, they are cancerous. And they are destructive, and they have their tentacles across the entire state. And unless someone eradicates them completely and stands up to them, and I did a little bit of it because I got hit with it 2 years ago, and I won. But if you don't fight back, you lose. You're dealing with communists from the Democratic side, and you're dealing with idiots and communists on the Republican side.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun, assuming we have the convention in North Carolina, because it's going to bring a lot of the folks all together, you know, at cocktail parties in which, you know, fist fights will break out. And
I can't wait for your reports, because it's going to be amazing. I've been to the last two conventions as delegates. I did not want to run this time, but I want to hear all your reports.
It's going to be good.
That's right. Wherever they have it, we're going to be there.
We'll give you the real lowdown. You'll get the real lowdown.
Thank you for chiming in here. I see got other people here too. 888-627-6008. Chris, I saw you there too. Hey, great background.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're good.
Good morning now. So a little bit of a report on what happened in Douglas County.
Okay.
They have opened, went to the Tailgate Saloon yesterday morning for brunch, a very brief wait. We were 10 minutes on the wait list. The facility was full. Nobody was sitting at the bar, but the rest of the high tops and all that were doing really well. Went out and visited with one of our friends that rides a motorcycle at the Wide Open this afternoon. And same thing, they had a little bit of a wait, but pretty much rocking and rolling. They were making money, and everybody, the owner was happy. Todd was up on the roof taking pictures and things like that. Cherry Hills Community Church on Sunday had an in-person live, you could sit in the pew and and worship the Lord. So that was a process. You could only have 150, 175 people. City of Littleton is getting ready next weekend. They're going to close Main Street, and they're going to extend their liquor license into the roadway, and the businesses in there are going to be able to try and make up a little bit of the lost revenue.
That's a good idea, since Littleton is totally dependent upon sales tax. It's idea to try to get some in.
Well, and you know, Chris, it sounds like for me, and this is just what I've noticed. I mean, the other day I was coming back from downtown and it was a traffic jam, right? I think that, you know, some of the media, some of the Democrats are trying to scare us to death. I don't think people are scared. I think people are frustrated and want to get back to their lives, don't you think?
I agree. We're seeing more and more people out there. Predominantly a week or two ago, people were wearing the masks. Mm-hmm. And I would say that it's down. There are some areas, I was out hiking and walking, and everybody, it's down to about 20% at this point.
I would say too.
In the facilities I just mentioned, other than the church, there wasn't a single mask worn by a patron, but the staff had their face masks.
Here's one thing.
How can you eat with a mask on, right? I mean, that's...
There's a little hole there. You pour it down, sip the thing.
But depends what you're eating or drinking for dinner.
But I must admit, you know, I played golf Saturday. We played golf Saturday. And usually the distance between you and anybody else is a couple hundred yards, right? I mean, it's not 6 feet. It's a couple hundred yards. And the young people that wore masks in their 20s and 30s, I just felt like, you little sheep, you servile.
Well, and it has kind of evolved to that, the masked and the unmasked. I've got one family member that resents the fact that I'm advocating that we shouldn't.
Right.
be wearing the mask, but she's DORA regulated. She's a hairdresser, and that's what she has to do to keep her customers, happy. She's in Cherry Creek right down by you guys. And, so we've got a little conflict going on in our own family.
All families do.
I think as it gets hotter, right, and as people wander around, I think there's going to be less and less. I think there are going to be some establishments, maybe like the grocery store, where you're kind of have to do it for a little while, but I think it's, you know, going to be less and less. Because again, I think you can just see whether people want to get political about it or not. I think
it is political now. Everything's political these days.
I know, but I think for a lot of people, it's not, it's just dumb and it's a nuisance and they're not doing it. And I think that's political.
Lone Tree with Park Meadows Mall, they did, the mayor did send out a mandate that you will wear a mask in the facilities. Cabela's out on Lincoln and I-25. In order to go in there, I approached the door and I had to put a mask on. But I understand the mall's open. I haven't been over there yet, but Costco. So right. Lincoln, and that's what Polis is doing. He's blackmailing these counties, yes, these municipalities. Yeah. If you want your tax revenue, you're going to do it my way.
Exactly, a good point. He is, you know, if you, and he'll say you can't open, right? And he'll have the health department say you can't open, so you do it. And then the businesses, what do, right? You don't want your license messed with, so the whole thing is screwed. Well, Chris, thank you for
chiming
in.
Thank you so much. Love you guys. Great job.
All right. Good to see you, Chris.
Take care. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
You know, actually, we could probably wrap. I want to say thanks a little. Unless anybody else wants to chime in, go ahead, 888-627-6008. I'm glad that restaurants can open Wednesday. There can be summer camps. I am hopeful that as things loosen up, it will loosen up quickly. And I think people like Anil and Laura, thank God for people like Laura Thomas, who are already working to make sure that we don't have to go through this again in the fall, because it's just ridiculous.
Well, it's going to be a battle, I promise you, because flu season will come back again. And it will, you know, there'll be the screams for let's close it down again. And hopefully the saner people will clamp them down and put them in internment camps.
Anil, did you want to weigh in on that? No? Okay.
It just comes back to common sense again. I lost my uncle was buried in New York City, my aunt's husband, 2 weeks ago. I mean, he was uncontrolled diabetic. But at the same time, you know, you just got to take general precautions. But don't let fear drive us. It's just out of control. We got to have common sense and, you know, wash your hands. If you're sick, stay home. But just don't let government dictate to us. Fear, they're going to control us and it's going to be destructive. We got to stop it now.
And we got, good. We got Ben up there.
The other guy from Addison. Hey, Ben.
Hey, listen, I just wanted to make a quick comment about Memorial Day, which is today.
Sure, you bet.
What that means to me. And it causes me to reflect upon all those men and women that lost their lives fighting for this country and the freedom that it stands for. And I have a loss of words when I think about how close we've come to losing that. And understanding just how bad Comey, Clapper, Brenner, all of them.
Obama, Biden.
That's right. How close they were
in
essentially taking over this country and destroying everything that those lives were given up to protect.
And we got another election in less than 6 months that they can come back and destroy our freedoms.
Well, that's what they're trying to do. And until people like what you have on here stand up and fight and fight for the freedoms, then you know we're going to lose it. Neil held up the Constitution, and I have my copy as well. And I think that I also have the Federalist Papers here. I don't know if you can see those, but
you can.
Those are two books that need to be read by everybody to understand when they put this Constitution together, what they were thinking. And it certainly isn't some of the stuff that's been coming out of our federal government.
All right. Yeah, good point, Ben. Good point.
Way to wrap up the show.
Right. Yeah, perfect one. All right. Chuck and Julie will be back on Hump Wednesday with the restaurants open. Maybe I should have a restaurant show live from a restaurant. But I want to thank everybody for coming. I want to thank our great sponsors, Colorado Citizens Press. Check that blog out every day if you can. And Synergetics. Get your life back together. Start feeling younger. Just call Julie McCallum at Synergetics.
All right, everyone have a great day. We'll see you later.